city. And you can't beat the Lord, but then sung about it. Done told you, done sung about it. You can't beat the Lord. I'm glad for not just what he was, but what he is. And he's still able this morning. I see there's a big... Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Give you some thoughts this morning. Baptizing here in just a moment, and then we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to tonight. Excited about tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Want you to do your best now. Please do your best to be here tomorrow night. Now, Eddie White will scold me if I build him up grit big, but he's just a great guy, and he got a wonderful wife. So that's why he's a great guy. He's got a good wife. And but anyway, he's just a man of God that's been used all over the place, and we appreciate him. But you'll get something. He'll give you something from the Lord. It'll help you, and you need to be here. 7 o'clock, it ain't going to hurt nothing to come spend an hour and a half or so in church tomorrow evening. And we've had plenty of time to put it on our schedule. And it'll just take a little bit of effort. And it's getting dark earlier, and you don't have as much time to work of a night. And just take the next 3 days off and be at church. Yes. How about that? Yes. That work? Yes. All right. Come on. The rest of you, how about the rest of you? We got three or four going to be here. So how about the rest of you? Be good if everybody could be here, all right? All right. Let's pray together. Got a few thoughts for you, and I want you to listen carefully this morning. Father, we come. Lord, you're so wonderful to us. Don't understand why, never will, but I'm not going to tell you to quit. I sure am glad that you love us like you do. Now, Lord, I wish I loved you more, and I want to love you more, and I want to be more obedient. Lord, help me to do that. I can't do that unless you help me. And Lord, I know that I fail. Cleanse me, I pray. Touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit to preach this morning as you see fit. And may I be pleasing unto you. And Lord, I do pray that every ear will hear, every heart will listen as well and understand, comprehend, and be obedient today as well. Thank you for what you've done in the past. Thank you for what you're doing now. And I thank you for what you're going to do in the future, and we're going to praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. As everyone else is, I've been thinking a lot about Harvest Sunday and Harvest Days, and it's a special time. I believe it's all a special time. Any Sunday is a special Sunday, but I like the special days, especially if they have a theme or a title. But I thought about Harvest Sunday and the fall of the year, and you can, it's in the air, can't you? You can smell it. You can smell it. That, the other week, me and Cheryl went, might have been last weekend, we took a little ride, borrowed Shane's, side by side and went just on a little ride right back, and I could smell the old mud hole. And, to me, there ain't no better smell than an old stagnant mud hole in the fall of the year. Because you know it's hunting season. I mean, if any of you guys hunt, you know what I'm talking about. It just does something to your blood. It just makes you want to just forget everything and stay out in the woods. But you can tell the fall's in the air. Go out in the garden, there ain't much left. Gardens are finishing up, and you got to be thankful for the harvest that he's given us. You know, corn's going to be ready to be picked here before long. Hay, second cutting's about finished. Few people have a little bit of second cutting left, not much. It's harvest time. Harvest time. There's still a few things to do, but not much. I got some Hanovers to pull and looking forward to that. Looking forward to corn pone and a kittle of Hanovers. Can anybody say amen there? Hanovers and corn pone or cornbread and a little bit of bacon grease, a little bit of sugar, cook slow. Ain't that a blessing? If you don't know what a Hanover is, I'm sorry you've been neglected all your life and abused. You know, I feel sorry for you. And you don't know what eating is. A lot of people like ribeyes and that sushi and stuff, just give me a Hanover and corn pone. But it's harvest time. The Bible says that the fields are already white in the harvest. Are already white in the harvest. And he's talking about souls there, people needing Jesus. We talk about harvest, our mind goes to the garden and to the fields and the things like that. You know, out west they'll be cutting soybeans and picking all their corn, getting ready for all the winter. I mean, there's harvest in the many ways. But yet the Bible seems to be concerned about the souls of men. It's concerned about you, concerned about your life and about everything that's going on in your life. To think that the Lord don't know you, then you really don't understand. The Lord knows all about you and he cares about you. And the Bible even speaks of him thinking about you, that his thoughts are towards you. He thinks about us. And that, I can see him scratching his head looking at us, but to sit and think about us. I mean, to me, that's just more, I believe, Cousin Rod was a praying there, don't understand your grace. I don't understand what you do. And that's just part of, that's that grace and mercy that he cares. When we think about harvest and the things that is needed and people that's needed, I think about the choices that come with harvest. You realize that harvest ain't just the time to go out there and reap. You know, the Bible even speaks of tares and wheat being sowed together, and you can't tell the difference until harvest time comes.
Right.
There's some things you got to look at and examine when harvest time comes. I was out there the other evening. I picked the last of my half runners. Half runners are gone now. They're done finished up. And I couldn't just pick everything I saw because some had done dried up. So I just had to go through and pick what looked like the good ones. And I still got some tomatoes on the vine. But I went over to pick one. I said, boy, that's a nice one. And my fingers went right through it. Wasn't no bottom in it. So when the harvest is completed, we're going to have to be choosy. We're going to have to pay attention to what we choose and pick, you know. You understand my point there. I've pulled some peppers for Tristan, and I noticed, I said, well, I thought I had some sweet pepper. I noticed I waited too long. They didn't fell off, and they was rotten. Missed out on the harvest because of neglect. You know, some harvest is going to be missed out on because of neglect. You know, I mentioned hay a while ago. I was talking to my good buddy Yogi, and he was finished up second cutting, and I said, well, are you going to square bale or round bale? And he said, well, I'm still debating. Still debating. He said, I need some square bales. But then decisions is what I'm trying to get you to understand. There's decisions to be made when it comes to harvest time. There's choices to be made. There's some, I talked to a couple of farmers the other day, and they said, we're not going to do our second cutting this year. It's too dry, and we're just going to let it go back into the ground. They chose not to harvest. Chose to let it go back in the ground. Now, I don't understand all that. I never was a big farmer, but I'm sure they understood. I'm sure they understood. But there's choices to be made. But then if there's choices to be made, there's consequences of choices. So when I think of harvest, I don't just think of going out and doing a little bit. There's a lot been on my mind concerning harvest this morning. So we're gonna deal with a couple of things, and we're gonna look at the choices of harvest today. We'll look maybe at the consequences of harvest and the consequences of the sowing. See, there'll never be a harvest if there's no sowing. There has to first be a sowing. And the scripture says, as we look in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll look at this couple things this morning. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verse 7 and 8 this morning, and just give you a few thoughts to ponder on. It says, be not deceived. That's a mouthful right there. Be not deceived. Let's get our head out of the sand this morning. And not be naive. And let's be serious this morning. And be not deceived. about you and your life and those around you, those in your family. You do not live to yourself, neither do you die to yourself. That you are important to God, whether you feel that you're important matters not. You're important to God. You matter to God. Your soul is eternal. You will spend eternity somewhere. And regardless of whether you're saved or lost, you'll stand before God. A saved man, a saved woman will stand before God and give an account as a Christian and their work. But a lost man will stand and give an account of his sins. These are things. Don't be deceived about life today. Don't be deceived that things are going to get better. Things are not going to get better on this earth. Don't be deceived that the politics are going to help you or the change is going to. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. For those you think won't hurt you may hurt you. Be not deceived. Those who think may help you may not help you. Don't be deceived. Wake up, I believe, it might be the best thing, to wake up. It's done been said, Brother Clark said it this morning, we've seen so many, hundreds and hundreds of people yesterday that's living their life that there's it's just going to go on all the time. There's not going to be no big deal. The scripture even speaks about scoffers in the last days. You say, where is the promise of his coming? They've said this for years, you know, that he's coming, and where is he? Well, let me tell you, don't be deceived. Jesus is coming again, and harvest time's coming. And he's going to separate the tares from the wheat, and he's going to put the wheat in his barn, but the tares are going to be burnt up. And you need to pay attention. But it says here, be not deceived. Then it says, God is not mocked. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, I want everybody to, don't be deceived. Now, God's got the last say. God's got the last say. He's in charge. I don't care what anybody thinks this morning. He's in charge. He's in charge of situations. Sister Vicki, you're going to start that radiation in the morning. And he's in charge. Them doctors down there ain't. You know? You know, when Philip wrecked, they had me, after he wrecked the doctor down at Dr. Vicente, they had me come up here and speak at the Brain Symposium up at Stonewall Resort. Had all them doctors and nurses and the helicopter medics and all of them up there, and I got to preach to them and showed a PowerPoint, if you know, of Philip and his life. And I got Dr. Vicente, I said, Dr. Vicente, come up here a minute. And he said, no. I said, no, you come up here. You're going to have to answer some questions today. He came up here and I said, I want you to tell me who was in charge down there at the hospital. Was it you? He had to take that microphone and say no. And the tears ran down his face. He said, no, God was. God was. See, it don't matter the situation. God's in charge. God's not mocked. Now, we may blaspheme his name. We may lie about him. We may reject him. We may rebel against him. He's not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's in charge. He knows the right. He knows the right in your mind. He knows the right in your heart. He knows exactly how you are. He knows whether you're truly saved. He knows whether you're truly lost. He knows the ins and outs of your life. He knows the failures, knows the mistakes. He knows the good. He knows the right things.
Right.
But he knows it all. And he is not mocked in anything. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Now, because you're young, you say, well, I'm young. I'm full of ginger. I'm okay. Can I tell you, young people get in a fix. In fact, a lot of old people are in a fix because of the mess they made when they was young. You got to be careful when you're young. You're going to get old someday. And I thought I was invincible when I was young. And now, but what BB tell me this morning, told to him this morning, he said, it's my mind says go, go, and my body says no, no. And I said, my mind says, oh no, you got something to do. And my body says, no, no, it ain't going to get done. That's what happens. So be careful when you're young. God's not mocked. I want to make sure everybody understands it. We're just going to look simply to this couple of verses, then we'll give you a few thoughts. Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever, now listen carefully, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Right.
Now I went out there to pick half runners Friday, and I picked half runners. You know how come I picked half runners? Because I planted half runners. That's exactly why I picked half runners. Exactly. I went out there and picked the red tomato. You know how come I picked the red tomato? Because I planted red tomato. Now I planted the yellow ones, but they're gone. But I planted them red ones too. And that's why I say you reap exactly what you sow. Now this ain't talking about gardening here. This is talking about our life with God. It says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look what it says. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we want you to understand that there's something about this sowing and reaping. And we could just preach a message on that. But I want you to pay attention, though, this morning to choices. What we sow is our choice. I want everybody to understand this morning, you don't sow by accident. You make some choices in your life. And the choices you make in your life is the seed that's going to come out. And listen to me this morning. It's going to come up.
Oh, yes.
Now, we can sow some things and hope it don't come up. But it'll always sprout somewhere.
Somewhere, yes.
See, I make pickles, so I plant dill. But I don't plant dill every year. Because it comes up whether I plant it or not. Because I planted it once before.
Right.
I sowed it once before. And the seed's still around. And we better think about that before we go sowing. Because we might think we got it all out. But it'll come up. So it's important to make the right choices when you go sowing. Because be not deceived, you're going to reap what you sow. Harvest times are coming. Harvest days are coming. You say, well, wait a minute, I've got too much. The only thing you can do is call on God for mercy.
Amen.
That's all.
That's it.
And he'll have to handle the harvest. Are you listening to me? But be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth unto the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he soweth unto the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That is as true as it gets.
Right.
I'll give you four examples this morning and let you go. Four examples. I bet you need to pay attention what you sow, how you sow, because of harvest time. And you need to remember that you always harvest more than you sow. Now, it may not be much more. Sometimes it's a pile more. Huh? I planted three little rows of carrots. They wasn't that long. And y'all know if y'all ever planted carrots, carrot seeds are tiny. I mean, you got to put on bifocals to see even to plant them. I mean, they're tiny. And a lot of times they're hard to grow. I went out there to three little rows. They wasn't no longer than that. And I had carrots that long, that big around. I had the 5-gallon bucket of carrots. I canned carrots, eat carrots, canned carrots. And I'd have never allowed that I'd have got that many carrots out. Just that little bit. Now, that was good. But I've sowed some stuff in my past that I'm afraid I'm still reaping. Sowed it many years ago and it still comes up. Still comes up. And can I tell you, it's not good. Now, there is some that's been sowed, it's been good. I was standing there yesterday on the at the table there at the courthouse lawn, and here come a young, I seen him walking down the sidewalk, and he seen me. Hadn't seen him. Used to come to church here. Hadn't seen him for a long time. Several years. There was a little guy. And I seen him coming, and he seen me, and here he come. I watched him walk all the way up the sidewalk, come straight to me, give me a hug, and said, "Good to see you, preacher," and left. And I said, "Where are you going to church?" He said, "We've been talking about coming back to church." And he walked off. I said, "Well, that's some good seats, son."
Right. Yeah.
That's some, but I seen some people come by that they avoided my table.
Oh yes.
And I wonder is because I had some bad seats somewhere. Mm-hmm. See, everybody don't like you.
Right.
I hate to tell you that, but everybody don't like you. Everybody don't like what you do. Everybody don't like what you stand for. Huh? But we better be careful what we sow. If I look over in Joshua chapter 24, very familiar verse of scripture, very familiar person, name of Joshua.
Yeah,
Joshua made some choices and he said, "You choose who you want to, but as for me, I'm going to choose to serve the Lord."
Amen.
Joshua made a choice to serve the Lord. Now, do you realize that he sowed that in his family, that four generations served the Lord?
That's right.
See, he sowed a good seed and reaped a good seed for four generations because he made a commitment to serve the Lord. I want you this morning to look at your life and see whether or not you're sowing the seed to serve the Lord or not.
Amen.
You realize I'm standing here this morning, a fourth generation preacher. Fourth generation preacher. Marcus, I don't know whether he's preaching this morning. He'll have some kind of class or something today, I'm sure. But he preached youth camp. He's a fifth generation preacher.
Amen.
I don't know what'll happen to whether it be Levi or Landon or Micah or Wesley. I don't know whether they'll ever go into the ministry or not. I have no clue. But can I tell you, back there long ago, Joseph Seeker sowed some seed.
Yeah.
And because of that seed, there's 20-some preachers in our family.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My family's noted for one of two things, either running liquor or preaching one or the other. You know? And some of them that run liquor got saved and started preaching. But, I mean, that's really about all they was known for. But can I tell you, it was the seed that was sown. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And Joshua decided to sow some seed, and the seed was to serve God, and for four generations they served the Lord.
Amen.
Now, his family didn't do as well, because after that fourth generation, there arose a generation that knew not God.
Right.
But they don't have nothing about Joseph, or about Joshua, rather. Joshua sowed the right seed. Are you sowing the seed to serve the Lord? What are you teaching your children this morning? What are you teaching your grandchildren? You're teaching them something. I seen a person yesterday, and I've been trying to get back in church, out of church. Now I seen them coming, had their grandbaby. Boy, they was cheesing like a fat rat. Had their little granddaughter and showing everybody and talking. And I saw them, and I thought, I said, "Oh." Had their son and their granddaughter, and the son, the dad's not in church, and the son's not in church, and that grandbaby ain't got a chance. Because there's nothing being sown to serve the Lord. I'm asking you this morning about harvest time. When it comes time to harvest in your family, what are you sowing?
Yeah, come on.
Are you sowing like Joshua did to serve the Lord? I look at about another man. We've heard of him. People heard about him all of their life. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Moses. And Moses, he was in a sense like Joshua. Joshua, he sowed to serve the Lord. Moses sowed to stand for the Lord.
Right.
He chose not to be counted like the world, but to suffer the affliction of his people. He looked at his people. I believe Joshua didn't just think of himself. I believe Joshua said, I'm going to serve the Lord and my house is. Because he looked what's going to be reaped later on. We better look at what's being reaped later on.
Yeah. Yes.
Huh? And Moses said, I'm going to stand not just because of me, but I'm going to stand because of all the children of Israel. There's more people that need me to stand. It's not just me. Hear me this morning. Everything we do ain't about us.
That's right.
Everything we do ain't about us. But what I do is important about others. What if I had broke the chain? What if I had decided not to live for God? What if I had rejected the Lord? I wonder where Marcus and Philip would be. I wonder if Landon and Hannah would be downstairs in junior church, or Hannah in the nursery, or them at the piano playing, or I watched Lane and Landon make him snow cones and laugh and serve people yesterday and Friday. What a joy to see that. But what if old Mark hadn't have done that? What if old Mark hadn't have given his life to the Lord? What if old Mark hadn't have sowed that seed? Where would my family be?
Yeah, hold on.
We better pay attention. What if old Mark had decided not to stand? What kind of liberal church would we have if Mark hadn't decided to stand?
Yeah, that's good.
What would we have? It matters.
Yes, it does.
It matters what we sow. Because why? Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Harvest times are coming. This is Harvest Sunday. And we're going to reap. What are you sowing this morning? We need to stand. Moses didn't care what the outcome was going to be. He was going to stand for the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, men, we need men that'll get some backbone about them. Listen, I invite people to church, and there's some that I really put some time into, and I try to encourage them, because we need good men in the church, strong men in the church.
Yep,
got a backbone that'll stand, that knows what's right, and they're not afraid.
Right.
Huh? What about you? Are you sowing that today? We need to pay attention to what we sow. Why? Because of harvest time. Harvest is coming. And you're going to reap what you sow. Huh? You're going to reap what you sow. Are you with me this morning? Are you understanding? It's not complicated this morning. I've been preaching, Boyd, I've preached as simple the past 2 months as I've ever preached in my life. I can't get no simpler, huh? Because I can't get no higher up either, but I can't get no simpler, huh? Well, you understanding me this morning? It matters.
Yes, it matters.
See, it don't matter what my daddy done or my papa. I've got an obligation to sow the right seed for me. Because I got Cheryl and I got the boys, and now I got 7 grandbabies.
Yeah, come on,
man. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Man, that gets down there where you live, them 7 grandbabies. Let me tell you something, great, other than God and Jesus, the greatest word ever invented was Popo.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the greatest word I've ever heard spoke to me. I've been called a lot of things, but Pawpaw was the best. Huh?
Amen.
Pawpaw's the best. Nothing no greater. Huh? And they still, you know, they don't get old and start calling me something else. You know, it's, hey, Pawpaw. Oh, Landon's voice is changing. He answered the phone. Hey, Pawpaw. Sometimes it'll squeak. Levi will get on the phone. Their voice will squeak a little bit. You know. Paw, just, you know. But still great. All the seed I'm sowing. The watching. Me and Matt Frame was talking yesterday, the watching. He was talking about Landon. He took Landon turkey hunting, and Landon was watching every move he made. He would watch him with that turkey call, watch him with that turkey call in his mouth, watch him how he hit that call, watch everything, watch every move, huh? Do you know that some of these young men know what kind of clothes you men wear? I'll never forget Landon going home and telling Lindsay, he said, I want some breeches like Embry wears. Emery always wore them jeans with them. Got the slots in the sides, you know, the work and work Levi. I don't know what you call them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Got the hammer handle for what are they? Yeah, them car. And hey, that's what he wanted. What kind of 8-year-old boy looks around and sees what you're wearing? They all do. You know why? Because you're showing something in front of them. See, I'm not just sowing in front of my children. I'm sowing in front of your children. I'm not just sowing in front of your children. I'm sowing in front of the county's children. The state, everywhere I go, every word I say, everybody that hears me, you know that the radio station, I preach on the radio every Thursday at 1:30, and I've heard the radio plumb up to Jane Lou, plumb down to Huntington.
Yeah.
Huh? All the way up near Parkersburg. Now, where they're all the way toward prison. Now, I don't know whether anybody listens or not, but it's that they're available. If so, I'm sowing seed all over the place. And I've sowed seed for 40 years as a preacher.
Yeah, come on.
It matters. Are you sowing the seed to serve the Lord? Are you sowing the seed to stand for the Lord? Or sometimes we got to be careful. Sometimes we're like Lot. We don't think about what's going to come up because we're focused on ourselves and everything about us. And Lot, the seed Lot sowed was to separate. He wanted to separate. Well, them guys are too spiritual. I'm not as spiritual as them. I need to separate. Lot separated because of conflict in the home. Are you listening to me? And he eased away from a man that was called the friend of God, Uncle Abraham.
Right.
Sometimes we make choices and we ease ourselves away from the spiritual things, from the strong things of God, from the ones who are strong in the Bible and strong in the Word and strong in prayer. And sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I want to be like that. Well, go ahead, make him choices.
Yeah.
Because the next thing you know, Lot didn't go to Sodom when he left Abraham. Not immediately. He looked at the plains before you get there. The well-watered plains of self-satisfaction.
Yeah, come on.
And he went there. And before long, he was in Sodom and at the gate and lost his family all because of the seed he sowed. You better be careful this morning.
Amen.
You walk away from the things of God. You walk away from the right things of God. From the strong men and women of God that God has placed in your life, in your path. You better get closer to them, not further away. You better listen to their wisdom. You better watch their testimony. You better get close to them and want them to speak some wisdom to you. Because if not, you might find yourself where you never thought you'd ever be. All because you chose to separate yourself a little bit. Huh? Because it gets a little hard sometimes. Being a Christian gets hard a little times. It does. You know why? Because we want to try to compare it with the world. Being a Christian ain't hard if you just want to be a Christian. It's when you want to be a worldly Christian that it gets tough. Because you can't hold hands with the devil and walk with the Lord. Are you listening to me? It don't work that way. Is there any understanding? I'm talking about reaping. I'm talking about harvest time. I'm talking about somewhere everything's going to be done and we're going to see what comes up. How about old Demas? I go over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 maybe. See about Demas? What the Bible say? Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this prayer, you know what Demas decided to do? He made a choice. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Are you hearing me? He chose to serve the Lord. Moses chose to stand for the Lord. Lot chose to separate himself from godly things. Demas just chose to stop. He just chose to quit. I just stop. I ain't doing it no more.
Yeah.
Be careful. You say, well, what did he reap? For the past couple thousand years, everybody has read that Demas had forsaken me, having loved his presence. Well, nobody remembers much about when he used to be with Paul. What they always say is Demas has forsaken me. That's his testimony. His testimony is I quit. I stopped. His testimony is no, I'm done. Be careful with what you sow. Are you listening to me? The prodigal, what he sowed, he just decided to sow sin.
Yeah.
Left the father's house just to sow sin. Because that's what he wanted to do. Go ahead, sow it if you want to, but don't forget there's a harvest time coming. Don't forget there's going to be some reaping.
Yeah.
You decide what you want. You're free to do anything you want to do. Go ahead. But there's consequences. You'll go out here on the road and drive 100. You can. Right. You can. But I don't allow you'll go far. I don't allow you'll go far. I allow somebody to stop you before you go too far.
Yep. Right.
There'll be that little, them little blue lights will go flashing and it'll cost you several hundred dollars.
Yep.
But you can do it if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You can teach your kids to drive fast and all of them get a ticket. Huh? I done told you about when I was at the jail. Over was preaching at the jail over at Beckley, Southern Regional Jail. Preached in that one night I preached four different times. They had a pod come in and I'd preach and then they'd leave and another pod. And I preached from 6 o'clock to after midnight and preached to them, sang and preached to them. On the first group would come in at 6 o'clock. There was a young man, had a little smart like attitude. And we talked and I preached to him and finally he broke a little bit and he said it was a shame that his daddy was in jail with him. I said, really? I said, that is a shame. Well, the second pod come in, the third pod come in, then the last pod come in. And that last group would come in right at midnight. There was a man sitting in the back of that room we was in and you could just tell he was a smart, like belligerent, come in. Eyes drawled, crossed his arms, and just tried to look mean. And I preached and preached, and I didn't know who these people was. I didn't know them. And I said, you know, I was in here, the first group would come in. There was a young man said, my dad's in here too. And I told the last pod what that boy said. And I watched that man stand there, and his arms go down, his head started hanging. And the tears started running down his face.
Yeah, come on.
He raised his hand. I said, yeah, he said, I'm the dad. I'm the dad. I got to preach to the boy and to the dad the same night. And you know why? It's because the dad decided to sow sin.
Right.
And the boys reaped it. The prodigal sowed the sin and he found himself, he was with the wrong group and wasting his life. Don't tell me it don't matter. It does matter. You better be careful this morning.
Amen.
It may not catch you now. It may not catch you in 10 years. It may not catch you in 20. But it'll catch you down the road somewhere because it'll come up.
Absolutely.
It'll come up. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth unto the flesh, he shall reap corruption. If he soweth unto the spirit, he shall reap life everlasting. Don't tell me that harvest time don't come.
Amen.
I know it comes this morning. I know it comes. See, the harvest is inevitable. That's a big word Jerry Givens taught me when I first come here as pastor. We know me and Jerry, run around all the time. Jerry, we golf together, hunted together. And Jerry said, the Lord wants me to be your deacon. He said, and Jerry done his best to take care of me. Jerry is my friend.
Amen.
He is my friend. But he always tells me, said, no, preacher, things are inevitable. I'd be discouraged about somebody me after somebody leaving or somebody had done, preacher, things are inevitable. There's some things that you just can't stop.
Right.
Look at me this morning. Harvest harvest time is inevitable. What are you sowing? What are you young people sowing? Huh? You know, these people that at Lao, won't you listen to me, parents? These parents that allow their children to sow wild oats. They'll allow them to because they say, well, they got to learn. You know. Well, why don't you go get them some diseases and give them shots and so they can learn how to be sick? Why don't you, when they're little, take a pair of ice grips and pinch all their fingers on the ends and pull all their fingernails off so they can learn pain?
Yeah,
come on. Say, well, that's stupid. Yeah, that's just like sowing wild oats. That's just stupid.
Right. Exactly.
Just stupid, ain't it?
Oh, that's good preaching.
You know? Why would you allow your kids to do something you know they're going to completely ruin their life with? Well, I hate to say no. No, you don't. You say no to God all the time.
Hello.
You say no to authority all the time. You say no to responsibility all the time. It ain't because you're afraid to say no. You're just wanting to have a little fun in your mind watching your kids have the fun you won't have no more. Sowing wild oats. See, that's what's happening. That's what's being sowed. But see, we forget that there's harvest time. I know of dads that partied with their sons. I know of mommies that partied with their daughters. And I watched the dads and the moms get straightened, and I watched their kids go to hell.
Yes. Yes.
Are you listening to me? I watched the dads and the moms get right, but it was too late. I think of the dad that got saved. He had been a drunk and a partier, and he's near 70. He got saved, and he went to his kids and said, boys, I want y'all to go to church with me. I got saved. And he said, yeah, Dad, you're too old to party. Now you've decided to go to church. We'll not go. And they didn't. They didn't. You know why? Because of the seed that was sowed. Come up.
Right.
What are you sowing? What are you sowing? See, can I tell you, Cheryl's mommy was a great singer, and her mommy's people were all singers, and some of her aunts played the piano, and I remember Granny Ruth, I don't remember which sister it was, that she beat the keys off of it. Remember when we went down there to Scramble Creek, up where them snake handlers are, we had that family reunion and she played it. I mean, she beat the keys off that old upright. I mean, I look for the ivory to go right off of. I mean, she beat it there, and I see Cheryl play, and now Hannah's playing. See, talents are handed down.
Oh, yes.
You know, Trista Towns, look at BB. Well, all my family played music as far back as anybody knows, and it's handed down. Singing and playing, you know. It ain't just talents.
That's right.
You know, it ain't like that. There's some, you know, I do woodwork. I work with my hands. I'm a machinist. But, you know, my papa did. My papa, my great-grandpa, he was a blacksmith. He made models that done fancy stuff back in the day. I mean, things are handed down. But can I tell you, them are good seeds. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But then I know of three-generation drunkards and four-generation drunkards.
Yes.
Don't y'all?
Yes.
I know of four-generation harlots.
Yes.
I know of fourth-generation dope heads.
Yep.
I know of fourth-generation blasphemers. Mom and dad blaspheme, then the kids will blaspheme, and the grandkids. Listen, I've been cussed out by a four-year-old just as much as I had about 80-year-old.
Oh, yes.
Very in the church.
Yes.
You know why? They didn't learn that at school. Well, they may have. They didn't get it out of a book. They may have got it out of a book. They learned it at the house.
That's right.
Because the seed was sown. I'm trying to get you to understand this morning that there's a harvest day. And you'll reap what you sow. And I'm asking you, what are you sowing this morning? See, if you're not saved this morning, let me tell you what's been sown in your life. What's been sown in your life is disbelief. It's either disbelief that you don't need it today or you don't need it at all. Or that you've got plenty of time. Can I tell you that's bad seed?
Right.
But I also tell you that there's good seed always sowed with bad seed. The good seed this morning is that Jesus died for you in your place. The good seed this morning is that it'll take root in your heart if you'll just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can stop the bad seed today. You don't have to sow no more. You can sow nothing but good seed from here on out. But you're going to have to come to Jesus to do it. You're going to have to call on Him to save you. Now, I can blame a lot of stuff. You know, I used to have a temper. I don't have much of a temper anymore. And I would always say, well, Dad had a temper. And this and that. But you know, that ain't how come I had a temper. I had a temper because I chose to. You know, Marcus and Philip raised in the same house. Philip had a temper and Marcus didn't. They raised in the same house, eat the same food, slept in the same bed, washed in the same water, wore the same clothes, rode in the same car. It's all in choices. Mm-hmm. Philip quit his temper. You understand? I'm talking to you. Sure, we go to Penna. I'm talking to you about sowing and reaping, harvesting. We okay? You saved this morning. Or you say, why don't you bow your head this morning? I don't do this very often. Won't bow your head. Won't you bow your head? And I want to ask you just flat-footed. This might be the last message I ever get to preach. And I'd just like for you to cooperate if you would. If you'd do me the honor and the humor of cooperating with me a minute. And I'd like for you, if you know for a fact your Bible's saved, that you've been born again, that you've been washed in the blood, do you know that you're a saved man or woman, young man, young woman, boy or girl, I don't care who you are this morning. If you know for a fact that you've repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like for you to lift your hand. I'd like for you to lift your hand. Just hold them up just a minute. Hold them up just a minute. All right, you can put them down. If you couldn't lift your hand this morning, then you're acknowledging that you've not repented of your sins and you've never trusted Christ. That means this morning that you're lost. And upon your own acknowledgement, you're lost. And I plead with you this morning and to listen to me that Jesus died for you in your place and wants to save you, and you can start a brand new life with Jesus Christ. You can be born again today by believing on Jesus, by trusting Him as your Savior, by calling out, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I trust Christ as my Savior. And you ought to come and do that this morning. Slip out of your seat and walk down this aisle. If you're a girl, a lady, a woman, you come talk to Becky, and Trista's here, and Janie's here, Kim's here, Miss Pat's here. You can come and we'll talk to you. If you're a young man, an old man, middle-aged, it don't matter, come. And Brother Rick and Dennis is here, Brother Boyd and Teddy, and Brother Tom, Brother Steve, we'll talk to you about the Lord. But what you're going to have to do is believe. Will you believe this morning? Will you believe on Jesus Christ? Your soul is so important. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth unto the flesh, he shall reap corruption. If he soweth unto the Spirit, he shall reap life everlasting. What about this morning? How about you, Christian? You say, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. What are you sowing? Are you sowing that seed to serve? Are you sowing that seed to stand? If not, you ought to slip out of your seat and find your place around this altar. Say, God, I'm sorry. I've been sowing the wrong seed. And I need to dip in the other bag. Throw that other bag away. Sow the seed in front of my family and friends for your glory. And I'm serving you and I'm standing for you. Maybe this morning you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but oh, I've slipped and I missed the way. And I'm sowing the seeds of sin now. I'm sowing the seeds of separation. I've gone away from the people of God and the people's old forefathers. I've got walked away from it. I need to get lined out with you. And won't you come to God and tell him you're sorry?" You know what he'll say? He'll say, "Okay, now start over." He'll clean you up this morning. He'll help you. There's help here this morning. There's a harvest time coming. Why don't you come to Jesus this morning? Why don't you come to Jesus and let him take care of you today? Father, speak in every heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.